When I was a boy, I used to say that love is just a little toy. Now that I'm a man, I get to understand that without love, you just can't go on.
CKUT, make me on the air, live for CKUT. Oh, what? CKUT, CKUT.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Yes, rehabilitation.
I wonder if you know what the word means. Do you? It comes from the Latin root habilis. The definition is to invest again with dignity. You consider that part of your job, Harvey, to give a man back the dignity he once had? Your only interest is in how he behaves. You'll conform to our ideas of how you should behave.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You were a number. You weren't a man. You want to be a human. I wasn't Jim Crow, and hell, I was number 586.
Why do you do a warder's job?
It's a good job. Responsible job. Officers like myself trying to...
Scum.
We're only enforcing the law.
The law. When they hang my husband, is that just...
Welcome to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Jojiage or Montreal. Today on the program, we share with you audio from the August 10th Prisoners Justice Day Vigil. We will hear the voices of Joanne Wendy Barreto, Kaya, Christophe Lewis. We will hear from a person currently inside a federal prison who goes by the name Beyond My FPS, and Lisa. The program will begin with a welcome, then we will observe a moment of silence in commemoration of Prisoners' Justice Day. We will hear the names read out loud of some of those who died inside in the past year. We will hear firsthand testimonies of what Prisoners' Justice Day means.
Bonjour tout le monde! Hello everybody! Je vous souhaite la bienvenue à notre événement du 10 août, la journée des prisonniers. J'aimerais débuter avec un moment de silence pour tous les gens qu'on a perdus dans nos institutions cette année et par les années passées. Et après, j'ai la liste des gens qui sont décédés cette année. Alors, j'aimerais, si possible, avoir la participation de peut-être 7 personnes pour venir lire les noms des personnes décédées cette année. Par la suite, je vais donner la feuille à notre table ici de Bagnères. On a déjà commencé, les dernières années, à inscrire les noms des personnes décédées depuis, je crois, 1970. Mais j'aimerais cette année qu'on inscrive les noms des décédés de cette année avant de poursuivre avec ceux du passé. Alors, on va commencer avec ça. Okay, so I'd like to thank you all for coming for today, for Prisoner Justice Day, 10th of August of every year. This year, we're going to start with a moment of silence, followed by the reading of the people that died this year in prisons across Canada. Anybody got a timer? I'd like to take at least 60 seconds of silence and think of the people that are also still inside. Okay, I'd like to have at least any 6 people that would like to come and start and read the names.
Shimon Abrahams, Christopher Anderson, Dean Parker, Jason Barnaby Glode, Danny Bernaches, Daniel Bertrand, Stéphane Bissonnette, Jacques Bolduc, Quinn Bord, Laurence Boucher.
Danny Brochot, Kendall Lee Campo, Paul Allen Carlson, Donald Cormier, Gaetan Cote, Ramon Crookedneck, Timothy Crow, Paul Sear, Roy Dalen.
Terry Driver, Charles DeLory, Glenn Farrow, William Gordon Fell, Renal Griffith Cochran, Breton Fisher, James Flatfoot, Daniel Gendron, Wesley Robert Jeannot, Kenneth Hodinot.
Douglas John Holtam, Alexander Charles Joseph, David Klassen, Alan Peter Nabzik, Armand Lacroussière, Saul La Liberté, Leonard James Landrick, Jacques Lapierre, Tamara Lucier, Jarrett Lorne Lunn.
Vlado Milukovic, Roger Mathurin, Régent Michaud, David Midouin, Irving Mingo, Aaron Moffitt, Gratien Murray, Aaron Nana Kwawitung, with apologies, Randall Nicotine, Russell John Oram,
Albert Penny, Robert Ram, Lois Jean Reed, William James Riddle, Darren Rouse, Jean-Francois Roy, Lauren Rudd, Oliver Rundle, Jeffrey Ryan, Skylar Sapier,
Kenneth Savage, Karia Sheikh Hussein, William Roy Tame, Pascal Terrien, Damien Thiroux, Jesse Thomas, Keith Raymond Tyler, Brendan Vermette, Andrew Watson, John White, Henry Robert Williams, Anthony Wood, Garrett Young. And these are only some of the deaths this year. We don't have all the names. So those names, just to make sure, I think those are just federal prisons and not including provincial. On both?
Yeah.
Across Canada? Yeah. Okay, both prison and federal in prison. So my name is Joanne Wendy Barito. I am a person with lived experience. I'm serving a life sentence for second-degree murder. I was convicted in 2010 and started my sentence in 2010. I did my 2 years of max, 6 years at GVI, at Joliette Institution, and 2 years at FVI in British Columbia. I moved across the country so I can actually get out of prison, because I've been an advocate for an institution designated for women since I got out of MAX and found out that we actually have rights that CAC and staff don't necessarily follow. I actually found out that literally tossing a cell wasn't supposed to happen. It wasn't allowed. They have to, you know, do it right. So, but they don't tell you that. You have to figure it out on your own. Alors, mon nom, c'est Joanne Wendy Barito. Je suis une personne avec l'expérience de vie. Je suis présentement en train de faire une sentence vie pour meurtre au deuxième. J'ai eu une conviction en 2010. Je fais mon 2 ans max. J'ai fait 6 ans à l'Institution Joliette et par la suite, j'ai transféré à Fraser Valley Institution en Grande-Bretagne pour que je puisse sortir. Le service correctionnel n'aime pas les gens qui font de l'advocacy pour les prisonniers. On n'est pas très bien vus. On croirait qu'ils voudraient nous mettre dehors pour se débarrasser de nous, mais ce n'était pas vraiment le cas. Fait que j'ai quitté ma famille, mes amis et tout, puis j'ai traversé le pays. 2 ans plus tard, j'étais sortie. J'ai un assez bon parcours. Par contre, comme on dit en anglais, I hit the pavement running. J'ai mon cours en parajuriste. Je suis une écrivain gladue. J'ai travaillé pour des avocats carcérales et je travaille présentement comme coordonnatrice régionale Ontario-Québec pour l'Association canadienne d'Elizabeth Fry. Alors, je fais beaucoup de visites, surtout en Ontario, à GVI, et c'est ma passion, c'est ma vie présentement. Every August 10th, prisoners participate in Prisoner Justice Day by fasting and refusing to work for 24 hours. The practice dates back to 1975 when imprisoned people at Millhaven Penitentiary, located outside Kingston, Ontario, organized a day-long hunger strike, work stoppage, and memorial service to honor fellow prisoner Eddie Nillen and Robert Landers. Nillen died in segregation by suicide after callous treatment by the guards and administration. And Landrin died of medical neglect and segregation 1 year later. Today, Prisoners' Justice Day observed across Canada's prison. Through prison administration, though prison administration have increasingly suppressed these actions. On the outside, Prisoners' Justice Day is an occasion for former prisoners, family, and advocates to come together, share experiences, raise awareness, and publicly oppose state-sanctioned violence. Since the onset of COVID-19, conditions inside prison have become much worse. Many people continue to face severe isolation and unsanitary conditions within ongoing lockdown conditions. Though government have decided that the pandemic is over, on the outside, prisoners often remain locked up with serious limits, access to prison library, gyms, and outside relationships. It is an urgent time to join the fight for justice for prisoners. According to recent figures, approximately 13,000 people are held in federal penitentiaries, 20,000 in provincial prisons, 9,000 in immigration detention centers, 198,000 in long-term care facilities, and 60,000 in foster care setting across the country. These institutions target and confine Indigenous, Black, POC, disabled, non-status, and poor people, continuing to strengthening the oppressive system of colonialism. Oh, and I have a lot of problem with that word. Sorry. White supremacy, capitalism, and patriarchy that this country was founded on. This year, on Prisoners' Justice Day, we fight for and remember everyone facing confinement across different kinds of institutions and different forms of violence. This year, gathering will include speakers talking about history of Prisoners' Justice Day, lived experience with incarceration and conditions inside. We'll also collectively create a banner listing the names of people who have died inside prison in so-called Canada. Prisoner Justice Day is an occasion to remember those who have sacrificed in the past and also build connections and power for better present and future. Let's remember August 10th. And also this year, Indigenous women in federal institutions make up almost 50% of the carceral, when only making 4% of Canadian population. It's the fastest growing incarcerated peoples at this time. Tous les dissous, les détenus, participent à la journée de la justice des détenus en jeûnant et refusant de travailler pendant 24 heures. La pratique remonte à 1975, lorsque les détenus de la prison de sécurité maximum de Millhaven, située près de Kingston en Ontario, ont organisé une grève de la faim d'une journée, un arrêt de travail et un service commémoratif en l'honneur des prisonniers Eddie Nillen et Robert Landers. Nillen s'est suicidé alors qu'il était placé en isolement et subit un traitement cruel de la part des gardiens et de l'administration de la prison. Et Landers est décédé de suite d'une négligence médicale en isolement un an plus tard. Aujourd'hui, la journée des prisonniers est observée dans les prisons canadiennes, bien que l'administration pénitentiaire ait de plus en plus réprimé ses actions. À l'extérieur, la journée des prisonniers est l'occasion pour d'anciens détenus, familles et militants de se rassembler, de partager leur expérience, de resensibiliser et de s'opposer publiquement à la violence sanctionnée par l'État. Depuis les débuts de la COVID-19, les conditions dans les prisons se sont nettement détériorées. Plusieurs personnes continuent à vivre dans un isolement sévère, avec des conditions insalubres, dans un contexte de confinement prolongé. Bien que le gouvernement ait décidé que la pandémie était terminée à l'extérieur, les détenus demeurent enfermés avec un accès très limité aux services en prison, tels que les bibliothèques, le gymnase et une réduction des visites de membres de l'extérieur. Il devient urgent de se joindre au combat pour la justice des détenus. Selon des chiffres récents, environ 13 000 personnes sont détenues dans les pénitenciers fédéraux, 20 000 personnes dans les prisons provinciales, 9 000 personnes dans les centres de détention d'immigration, 198 000 personnes dans des établissements de soins de longue durée, 60 000 personnes en foyers d'accueil à travers le pays. Ces institutions ciblent et confinent des personnes autochtones, noires, de couleur, en situation de handicap, sans statut et pauvres, continuent et renforcent ce système oppressif de colonialisme, en français ou en anglais, hein? De la suprématie blanche, du capitalisme et de la patriarchie, système sur lequel ce pays est fondé. Cette année, lors de la journée des prisonniers, nous luttons et nous gardons en mémoire toutes les personnes en situation de confinement à travers les différentes institutions et formes de violence qu'elles engendrent. La réunion de cette année comprendra des orateurs qui parleront de l'histoire de la journée des prisonniers, des expériences vécues en matière d'incarcération et des conditions dans les prisons et les centres de détention. Nous créons également collectivement une bannière répertoire de noms des personnes décédées dans les prisons canadiennes. Cette année, d'après l'intégrateur correctionnel, la démographie qui augmente en nombre le plus rapidement dans les prisons fédérales, c'est les femmes autochtones. Ils font partie de 4 % de la population canadienne, mais presque à 50 % de la population carcérale de femmes. Alors, j'aimerais inviter Kaya. Kaya is an American rapper and hip-hop artist based in Montreal. Kaya has lived experience in incarceration, having been imprisoned at Her Majesty's Prison in Dodds St. Philippe in Barbados. Her stint was difficult, but she made it out, and she is now a heavy lyrics and an owner of a liquid Liquid Split LLC, a luxury adult toy. I'm going to go see you later. Adult toy and apparel store opening soon. Her forthcoming single, Pyrex, is dropping on all major platforms in a few days. Make sure to get that.
Peace, y'all. Ooh, I like how this mic sound. So, I'm just going to say a little bit because they did tell you I was incarcerated in Barbados. And to say the least, it is terrible. It is terrible. But I did an event like this last night, and one of the things that I wanted to stress about the prison system the most is that it truly is not needed, and it does not help anything. And I can tell you I know firsthand because in Barbados you're sentenced to hard labor. Really, that's all they want from you, or some money. And if you have that, you can go home. But I stayed, and for a year, they paid me to work hard labor every day, $200 a day to work in a prison. So they paid me to be there. So we know prison imprisonment is not to help. It is not to fix anyone. It does not rehabilitate. And most of the people in there just meet their the person that they needed to make it go through, really. And that's really what it is. It makes worse criminals. So, yeah, let's break down that system, break down the stigma around prisons, and let's try and, you know, like, defund the police and let's learn how to self-govern and take care of ourselves, because we are truly victims of a system. And on that note, if y'all just look back there, there's a young lady standing in the blue. That's my sister Michi. And that's my mama right there, Pyrex. Yeah. Yeah. I wrote this song as an ode to my family and to what I was leaving behind. So I transitioned into another phase of my life. And when I came out, I realized that I wasn't only good at doing bad stuff. I could be using those same skills that I used to do those things to do something legal. So I opened up a sauce and marinades company that has Big Mama's Marinades and Sauces. You'll be able to see that soon. I have Lickety Split LLC, that is a luxury adult toy and apparel store. I also do music. And if you want to ever like check out my social media, it's Strong Firm Bottom, all one word. Y'all hit me.
So we're talking about transferable skills and what prison gives you. I'm so happy you got $200 a day, because we got an average of $529 a day in federal with no transferable skills except sewing underwear. So if I want to go to India and China, then I can get a job. But in Montreal, you cannot. That's women's institution. Men work for Corcan, a lot of them. You know, construction work, but nothing much. Slave labor, that's pretty much what it is. And you can't do anything about it because it's not considered work. You're part of a program of rehabilitation. So you can't even contest the salary you get because you're not working. I spent 8 years rehabilitating myself by working. Nothing they taught me other than CJEP was useful when I got out. I'd like to introduce Christophe. I met Christophe on the phone. We used to talk weekly, and I was so happy when he got out. Christophe Lewis is a writer, activist, father, son, brother, and unfortunately, because you're out, a parolee, but a parolee serving a life sentence.
I don't even know how to follow up a performance like that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm gonna let y'all down, but you know what? Honestly, I just wanna say hello to everybody. I wrote something down because honestly, I'm working out for like 4 hours sleep right now. I had to work this morning. I'm a construction worker, so I had to go back to work this week. We're on 2 weeks vacation, and I went back today. So I'm gonna, you know, I wrote something up just now when I came back from work. But so I just wanna say hello to everybody. Obviously, she just told you my name. My name's Christophe Lewis, for those of you guys that don't know. Last time this year, I was incarcerated. And same goes for the previous 11 years before that, unfortunately. I'm extremely humbled and thankful for this opportunity, you know, to speak about Prisoners' Justice Day from outside. Because I've been advocating for prisoners and prison-related reform stuff from I was ever in prison, you know. I just, that's what gave me solace when I was there, you know, fighting for the rights of other people and myself, you know, while I was there. So that's something that I'm really passionate about. I want to get that out of the way. I'm fully aware that as a person serving a life sentence, I'm truly, truly blessed to have the opportunity to be out here and be able to, you know, congregate with people and just be out here in the open, you know. I'm truly blessed to have made it out of those concentration camps they call prisons, because that's essentially what they are. Whether you want to believe it or not, I know there's people that would beg to differ, but that's the facts. There are many people in and outside the prison walls that just don't understand the importance of Prisoners' Justice Day. You would think at least the men and women that are locked in prison would at bare minimum pay homage to those that rode out and paid the ultimate price of death, right? That's what one would think. But sadly, that's not the case at all. Over my many years of bondage, I overheard many men disrespect, and I didn't know, it's probably the same in a woman's prison too, but obviously I was in a man's prison, so I can only speak from the perspective of someone that was in a man's prison, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to make that clear, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure that goes both ways. But sadly, that's not the case, as I was saying. And over my years of bondage, I overheard many men disrespect and disregard Prisoners' Justice Day as if it was just some sort of inconvenience or insignificant bother. From the beginning of my sentence, I noticed the difference between inmates and prisoners. Inmates tend to adopt a more conformist type behavior pattern with seeming like they're trying to appease to the man or their overseers, which we refer to as CSC, Correctional Services of Canada. Prisoners or convicts, on the other hand, as we were often referred to as by the man, adopt a more loyal stance among other prisoners and a resistance when it comes to their overseers, CSC. This is why over the years I refuse to refer to myself as an inmate. Because as I always say, we're all imprisoned, but we ain't all mates. I'm not an inmate. I was a prisoner, and I still feel like a prisoner, even though I'm outside now, you know, because I'm serving a life sentence, and I got a report here, report there. I got someone looking through everything that I do. So I really haven't really gained back my freedom, and that's how I feel. And it's evident all the time, you know, like I was just explaining to somebody just now, I was saying, when I go to work, like sometimes we get jobs that are outside of a radius. I have a 50 kilometer radius that I have to stay in. And this is when these are defining moments that make me realize that I'm treated like subhuman, even though I earn my freedom. Let's be clear. They didn't just let me out because they wanted to. I earned this. You know what I'm saying? Like I put in the work. I've been working with different organizations the whole time I was inside, working on bettering myself, going to school. I'm actually registered to go to Concordia this year. You know what I mean? Like, I dropped out of high school in grade 9. You know what I'm saying? I registered as a mature student, and I'm proud of that. You know what I mean? So I say all that to say, like, it ain't easy, and nothing worth having comes easy. So I'm here for the fight. You feel me? Like, I'm always going to be with it. So that's what I have to say about that. Like-minded prisoners, though, like myself, would mark August 10th of each year as a day not to work in the prison. That's what we would do. We wouldn't work, and we wouldn't eat. Like, I'm on a little intermittent fast myself. I had to work today, so I decided that I'll drink beverages. But I haven't eaten nothing, and I've been up since 5 this morning. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm wearing my shades. You know what I mean? I'm wearing my darkas right now because if you guys see my eyes, they're bloodshot, red, because I've been up since early. But I understand that. And to be honest with you, if I didn't have to work to pay bills, I would have boycotted that too. You know what I'm saying? Real talk. But I'm taking that sacrifice. And that's what we used to do when we were inside. We used to make a sacrifice. Like, it was like a pact amongst prisoners, not inmates. Because as I said, there's a big difference. Yeah, we used to pay homage by just not eating. And also, we would just, to be honest with you, it was more than just not eating. We just wouldn't want to take any orders from the man. So on Prisoners Justice Day, we just wouldn't do anything that they're saying. It's like, fuck off. Excuse my language for the youngins around here. But we'd just be like, whatever. You know, we just deadlock ourselves, stay in the cell. We wouldn't care what they're saying because it's like, this is the one day that we're just rebelling against everything they're saying. That's why it's frowned upon. When you're a prisoner, when you take part in Prisoner Justice Day activities inside, your case management team frowns upon that. They look at you as a rebel. So just for you doing that peaceful protest, you could find yourself with a couple years more in prison. Just because of one report that they write that, oh, well, you know what? He was hanging out with the bad guys. He was hanging out like as if we're not all in prison already. So they try to, and they play this divide and conquer game, which I'm going to get into in a second. But that being said, I would like to take a few minutes to listen to an audio recording from a current prisoner that goes by the name of Beyond My FPS.
I'll start by saying, I've been in prison for about 17 years now. I've been incarcerated. I've been in the federal system for about 15 years. When I came to the federal system 15 years ago, I learned about Prisoners Justice Day on, you know, which falls on August 10th. I was told by guys who have been in longer than me, who have been observing and memorializing this Prisoners Justice Day annually, that back when there was only kind of one prison in Canada, which was Kingston Penitentiary. Individuals were transferred from every corner of Canada who, you know, was given federal time and transferred to that prison. Over years, you know, the injustices and the lack of programming, lack of resources, lack of rehabilitative programming, the things that a person would need to make the most of their time wasn't available. And ultimately, there was a riot, a protest, a revolt in the prison. I think it's well documented. I don't have access to a lot of the information, but over the years I've had the opportunity to read some of the information. Prisoners revolted, took the prison hostage. There was news, media, it got a lot of coverage. And that incident was the start of change in the Canadian federal prison system. A lot of people started looking at prisons and how prisoners were being treated and, you know, what Canada represents around the world and how, you know, it looks for the rest of the world to know that, you know, Canada is treating its prisoners horribly. I mean, if Canada wanted to be, you know, seen around the world as, you know, one of the leaders in human rights and so on, and constitutional rights, they had to, you know, change some things in prison. So they started changes, started having access to phones, having access to things that would help with our mental health, such as, you know, touch visits, and they started building more prisons so that individuals from different provinces, different regions can be housed in their region so that, you know, their families can come and see them, because in the past, once you went to prison, you disappeared. You know, if the only mode of communication that you had was letters. So if someone was from, you know, British Columbia, and they were now in Kingston, in the penitentiary in Kingston, you could only write a letter to your family. Yeah, they'll send you photos, but really you can't talk to them, you can't visit with them. I think for most prisoners, you just kind of cease to exist after a period of time because you're out of sight, out of mind. But over the years, a lot of things have changed. I came into the prison system, and there's telephones. We had our own clothing. We have mental health services. We have a bunch of things that were in the prison system. When I say were, because a lot of those things no longer are in the prison system. Prisoners used to be able to, like I said, memorialize the day. We would make T-shirts, clothing with the Prisoners Justice Day branding on it. It was a way to, I guess, unify prisoners with the understanding that what we have in prison is a privilege, and, you know, what people have gone through and experienced, prisoners before us have experienced to get these things. Some individuals from that riot probably never made it out of prison. I mean, I believe from what I remember, some individuals died, both prisoners and I think COs. So there was a lot that happened to, you know, move prison reform to what it was. And those same individuals that I met inside the prisons, been in, whether it's 10, 15, 20 years, explained to me that a lot of things that they had were gone, such as vocational programming, a wider variety of vocational programming where an individual can get certified, and after, whether it's 10, 15, 20 years, you know, whether it's 10, 15, 20 years, can actually leave the prison with some value for those years, that they can go into the community and start a job or get proper jobs. If they have families, it'd be great to be able to come out of prison and get a job, a decent paying job that you can that you can help to support children, a spouse, a family, you know, and even yourself as an individual, as opposed to getting out and having to rely on the social system, you know, and taxpayers to look after you and your children. So Prisoner Justice Day means has meant a lot to a lot of prisoners, but now they've removed for years now they removed the ability for us to have those clothing with the branding and so on. So as the new generations of prisoners come into the prison, no one really, you know, hardly observes Prisoner Justice Day today. Inside the prison system across Canada, Prisoner Justice Day doesn't have the same meaning that it had when I started my time. And it's, you know, it's sad. So as far as, you know, my feelings about Prisoner Justice Day, I mean, it was a great thing that people would know these things, and it helped prisoners to respect the things that we had, from our weights to our own property to, you know, private family visits, which are trailer visits, touch visits, everything that we have in the prison. Prisoner Justice Day helped for people to, you know, appreciate those things and understand how far prison reform, as far as, you know, the benefits for prisoners and staff alike, has come. And now, you know, all of that's kind of faded away. So it would be nice to, you know, to see a revival of that kind of energy around Prisoner Justice Day. But prisoners need allies. Need allies outside of the prison, because if no one outside cares about, you know, prisoners' rights and the treatment of prisoners and human beings who have been incarcerated, and what we are able to do over our time to better ourselves, to come out of prison better than when we came in. If no one on the street cares about that, then no one who runs CSC will ever care about that. They'll keep chipping away as much as they can to save money, you know? So when it comes to saving money, maybe he's creating jobs or giving something more financial to the union, they chip that away from us as prisoners, right? So they've cut our income for the jobs that we work in the prison. They've cut it in half. In addition to that, I mean, CSC has a program. It's a number of factories. It's industrial factories in pretty much almost all the prisons. Primarily the mediums, where the inmates make things. The program's called Corcan. It's a company. I used to work in one. It was a huge metal shop. I mean, it made beds, lockers, vehicle parts for the military, furniture for other prisons. There's other Corcans that make furniture for the government office buildings. Prisoners work in these, you know, in these factories, and we used to get what was called incentive pay. So in addition to our institutional pay for just being employed, we would get an incentive pay because the factory, you know, government or whoever, you know, runs these factories are making tons of money because they're sifting, they're selling these products to CSC, they're selling these products to the military, they're selling these products to, you know, other government institutions, and they're sifting the taxpayers' dollars into this company. I don't know who runs them, I don't know who's getting paid, but they took away the incentive. Now, the majority, the maximum an inmate would make working in these factories, if you're, because there's also a level system to the pay. It's a level system to your regular everyday job pay, and there's a level system to your incentive pay. So now, if a prisoner is following his correctional plan, doing well, you go up to the top level in both pays. And the maximum you're going to make as a prisoner, what we used to make when I was working there, would be around like $400 a month. A lot of individuals, prisoners, used to send some of that home. It would help maybe bring their family members to visit them. It would help pay some bills. If they have children that needed something, they would send that home.
So I know this is long, but the reason why we're playing this is because it encompasses a lot about what goes on and what the taxpayers' dollars is used for, and how they just keep taking from the taxpayers and not giving anything back to those that there's, like, the money that they're saying that they're using for CSC to rehabilitate prisoners, they're not using it on us. Like, I do a lot of studies on this stuff. Like last year, they spent, or the year before, it was $1.2 billion was the budget for CSC, and they spent 85 to 90% of that not on the prisoners, on the staff, right? And POs and all these people. So it's just ridiculous. So that's why I really want you guys to hear out what's going on. It's only a couple more minutes. Just bear with me. It's really important information.
Individuals were doing that. Now that's gone. My question, watching, not even just watching, living, you know, CSC cutting away funding systematically from everything that benefits the progress, the positive progress of a prisoner. Does that mean that CSC cares about prisoners being rehabilitated, returning to the community better than when they came in, or is that not part of their mandate anymore?
Right.
Is it just all about, you know, scraping, you know, and cutting as much funding out of the system as possible, you know, to get to that point where people, you know, can't complain and say, well, you know, we're not doing it. We're doing just enough. You know, we're meeting the parameters, you know, of what we should give them. We're, you know, like, why should it be the minimum? Whatever we had before, at some point in time, it was thought that that was necessary. So why now is it no longer necessary for us to have these things as prisoners, for us to have this support as prisoners? That's a question that I have. And I think some other people out there, you know, should have the same question, because at the end of the day, if they're cutting all these taxpayer dollars out of the system to reform prisoners, where is it going? Who's getting it? Whose pocket is it going into? That's another question that I have. Because as far as I'm concerned, sitting where I'm sitting, experiencing what I'm experiencing, as someone who lives amongst all kinds of prisoners, all kinds of people who have been convicted of crimes, various crimes, it seems like CSC is a racket.
Exactly.
You know? Even our canteen system, you know, oftentimes we're paying, you know, a decent percentage more on an item in prison than people are in the grocery store outside. And it's the exact same item. We're getting it generally from the exact same, you know, same sources or whoever supplier they've approved to supply these items to prison. So, I mean, if we're being overcharged, isn't that kind of like a fraud? Isn't that kind of like a racket? You know, and I'm talking about basic things, basic food items that we'd have on our, you know, on our prisoner canteen system, right? I think it would be great to have some allies to kind of look into CSC and see, you know, where the money's going.
So that's from someone that's incarcerated right now. Doesn't want to be identified. I'm sure you can understand why. They go by the name Beyond My FPS. I talk to a lot of people that are incarcerated, you know, and I could tell you this, it's not an easy thing to fight the lion when you're in its mouth. And I'm gonna tell you, when I was doing that, because I've been going to war, I remember I would be inside, and instead of working out all the time, which I did my fair share of that just to keep my mind straight and keep everything balanced. But instead of doing that, I would spend a lot of time writing grievances, complaining, you know, federal court stuff, all these human rights violations, you know, because there's a lot of prejudice and bad treatment that, you know, prisoners receive. And prisoners are somebody's children. They're somebody's brother. I'm a father, you know what I'm saying? I have sisters. I have six sisters. I got a big family, and I'm somebody's child, you know what I mean? So when I hurt, they hurt. So what I'm trying to say is just that there's a lot of injustice going on, and there's a lot of people that have a strong voice, as you can hear this guy as he's going through it, and he feels it, and a lot of people feel it, but they don't have a voice, and they understand that the pen is mightier than the sword. Anything they say will be used against them, and believe you me, they said this to you when you first get arrested. Anything you say can and will be used against you, and they mean that shit. Trust me, all the way till you're dead, because once they get you and they give you a charge, once they sink, we have a saying as convicts, you know, you'd say, once they sink their teeth in you, they want nothing but blood for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? And that's just facts. But I'm going to wrap up because I know that was kind of long, but I really wanted everyone to hear his voice because I just feel like every time I hear his voice, it's powerful, you know? And he speaks nothing but truth and facts. Amen. So I'm going to finish by saying, it's sad to see just how watered down the prison population has become, especially when I see how things are handled by prisoners in Ontario, where I'm from originally. Well, since I came to Canada, because I migrated here, and Quebec as well. Some of the biggest standoffs and peaceful protests were held in Ontario's Millhaven Institution, as you heard earlier, and honestly here in Quebec, in Archambault Institution. There was a time in January 15, 1976, where 360 prisoners refused to lock up, and there was only 15 of them. Out of 360, there was only 15 that refused it. So those are the 15 inmates. You understand? The rest of them were prisoners because they knew what they were standing up and fighting for. And that's why prisoners' justice day is so important. People don't understand. People died for this. You know what I'm saying? And people, it's really sad. So when I hear him say that, it touches me to my core because it is sad, the state that the prisons are in now. I have a bunch of stuff here that I was going to read, but I'm just going to go jump to the end of this. a little bit more history. On August 10, 1976, thousands of prisoners across Canada staged a one-day hunger strike. His hunger strike was to honor a dude named Edward and Robert. I can't remember their last names, but Edward was Edward Nolan. Robert Flanders, that's it. And these guys are kind of like legends in the prison, you know, because, you know, they died under certain circumstances, under duress, you know. And since then, August 10 has become a traditional day of remembering prisoners who died inside prisons across Canada and internationally. So this is the premise behind Prisoners' Justice Day. It's not just a day, you know. It's not. It has a deep meaning. It's deep rooted, and there's real prisoners that are inside that take this to heart. You know what I mean? And I've seen fights happen over guys that want to eat on Prisoners' Justice Day because we're asking you to just make one sacrifice. That's why I'm so passionate about even me being partially free outside right now. I'm not eating today. And people look at me like I'm crazy. I even talk to some of my family members. They're like, yo, what do you mean you're not eating? Like, you're outside. What are you doing? But for me, this is near and dear to me because unfortunately, I was in there for so much years out of my life. Granted, I committed a crime according to society standards. However, I paid my due to society, right? When am I going to get my life back? When does the punishment end and the rehabilitation begin? That's a question that we got to ask. As I was talking about divide and conquer before, CSC staff are expert at dividing and conquering prisoners. They mastered this art, let me tell you. Therefore, inmates will never see the need to band together in order to enact positive change regarding the most important issues they're facing, which is obviously freedom and rehabilitation. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there's some people in prison that need rehabilitation. Everybody in prison ain't good. There's some messed up dudes in there. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, there is good people there. Even in a dark place, you can find some light. You feel me? So I just want to highlight that. Because they are masters at dividing and conquering. I find that individuals living in segregated and condemned communities, we all been around places like that, large and small, will inevitably conform to a crabs in a bucket mentality, which is why I consider prisons as systemically oppressive cells that need to be abolished. Okay? Anyways, I'm going to leave you guys at that. Real talk from a real prisoner doing real time in a real systemically racist system. And you guys can check out my blog. It's at freedomsamust.net. And I also am going to be opening a podcast, so keep posted on my stuff.
Thank you, Christoph. People don't come out happy in prisons. I know I didn't go in happy, but I sure didn't come out happy. Well, I got out happy because I was out. But the skills I acquired prior to prison is what helped me. It wasn't the skills I got in prison that helped me. And that eight-year break, I call it a break because I had 8 years to work on myself. It wasn't CSC that worked on myself. It's me that went to the library, that worked on myself, that figured out that the reason I was there is because I had issues before I went to prison. 14 suicide attempts. I wasn't a happy camper at all. So I worked on myself. It wasn't CSC. CSC, just like any other government, like to hide things, pull the wool over your eyes. We're talking about, they keep telling you that prisoners cost $150,000 a year. We should cut budgets. But what they don't say is that the 2016 budget said that 70% of that $150,000 went to guards' pay and benefits, not to the prisons or the establishments. The other thing also is Indigenous people, or the most people in federal institutions, they're more highly security classified than anybody else. They spend longer time in prison than anybody else. They die in prison more than anybody else, and they're more likely to go to prison more than anybody else in Canada. The system in Kingston, before all the other prisons were open, the Indigenous population was pretty low. When they started opening more prison, they started incarcerating more Indigenous people instead of helping them out prior to that. So since the, I guess, escalation of prison openings, there's been more and more Indigenous people incarcerated. They don't use the GLADI reports accordingly. They don't fix the traumas. They don't help them. So I thought it was important that we remember that they're suffering as much as anybody else is also. I know Lisa wanted to say just
for me, the biggest organized crime for me is the government. The crazy thing is that we follow their lead. Whatever they say, we follow. One of the greatest things is happening with the world now is the millennials and the power of social media and the power of people not standing for the crap anymore, asking questions and digging for answers. Iran-Contra, Oliver North, Reagan was the president. They brought crack into the United States to fund the Iran-Contra. And Reagan's wife, Nancy, her slogan was, just say no. But you guys allowed that to come here. And you pass it on to people on the street to sell it. And when you're finished with them, you lock them up. Freeway Rick Ross. Now, this is what I want to say. We need independent boards, people to stand and to watch these people, hover over them. What's that? What does that mean? I want to dig into that further. When you go into parliament and stuff, you need to go and ask questions. You have to stand and ask what people are, when they have companies that want people to invest and all that stuff. A lot of these companies, their, backdrop looks real nice. But then you look and you say, okay, these people fund brand new prisons. So this part of this money is going for that, but the only thing they're really doing is making money to make more prisons to incarcerate people, right? So you have to dig into these things and find out who these people are. Because we are people that ask questions and we no longer go for the crap anymore, strengthen numbers, right? Ask the questions, do the digging, stand up for what we need, right? Rehabilitation, not beat down, starvations, right? Cloak and dagger things going on. When these people come out of prisons, we want them to be better. I'm a mom. my children were locked up. Sitting home and listening to my daughter abroad and the things that were going on, being stabbed, things like that, drives you crazy, right? We have to stand up here in Canada. We have to stand up and say, okay, enough is enough, and we want to see you open the books. We want to see things get better here. We want actual rehabilitation.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, and CKUT.ca, broadcasting from Jojiage, occupied Ganiaganga territory. The Prison Radio Show airs twice a month on CKUT. We're on the air the second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. and the fourth Friday at 11 a.m. The next Prison Radio Show will air on Thursday, September 8th at 5 p.m. If you have any questions about anything you've heard on today's show, or if you wish to be involved with the show, feel free to contact us, prison@ckut.ca. Formerly incarcerated people are encouraged to participate. Stay tuned.
Rehabilitation.
I wonder if you know what the word means. Do you? It comes from the Latin root habilis. The definition is to invest again with dignity. You consider that part of your job, Harvey, to give a man back the dignity he once had? Your only interest is in how he behaves. You'll conform to our ideas of how you should behave.
Number, you weren't a man, you want to be a human. I wasn't Jim Crow, and hell, I was number 586.
Why do you do a warder's job?
It's a good job. Responsible job. Officers like myself trying to...
Scum.
We're only enforcing the law.
The law.
If your last vaccination against COVID-19 was more than 5 months ago, it's time to get another dose. Boosting your antibodies reduces the risk of getting or transmitting the virus. And booster doses help reduce the number of hospitalizations and deaths related to COVID-19. For better protection against the virus, book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID vaccine and follow the recommended vaccination schedule. Vaccination against COVID-19, a good way of extending our protection. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Pop Montreal International Music Festival is back from September 28th to October 2nd, 2022. 5 days of music and over 200 artists, including teen punk viral sensations The Linda Lindas, Canada's first drag race winner Priyanka, 70s British funk group Simone, Grammy-nominated and Juno Award winner Alison Russell, iconic dancehall queen Sister Nancy, post-rock legends Tortoise, and many more. The festival also features film screenings, visual art, symposium discussions, and as always, many surprises. Get your tickets and passes now at popmontreal.com. A CKUT co-presentation.
It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between, professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known as Jochage in Ganiagahaga or in Munayang in Anishinaabe, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah DeA, recording from home on Thursday, September 9th, 2022. On tonight's show, we are gearing up for the fall season by previewing the freshly unveiled plans for Montreal's two big English theaters. My guests tonight include Lisa Rubin, Executive Director at The Seagull. She explains the season's tagline, "All the Feels."
The productions not only lend itself to very satisfying and entertaining experiences, there may also be some emotional reactions and some empowerment, you know, going on behind the scenes. Like, it really is all the feels and